All right, Lombardi line as we continue. Get your dogs in. Make sure you send in a picture of the dog and also an underdog that you're playing today at VSiN Live. It's a Dog Day Sunday here on the Lombardi line presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi hanging out at the Borgata. Thomas Gable, who runs the race and sports book there, is going to be joining us in just about 34 minutes. I'm Patrick Maher live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. So just a couple of things here for you, Michael. Of course, coming up tonight, I know the one thing that you have in your little iCal there on your phone is the skills challenge, which is going to start.
Stanley Tucci cook. I'm not watching the skill channel. Hey,
you've said this like three times. I want to watch this. What do you keep talking about with Tucci?
You don't have to leave the house either. It's remarkable.
Please.
Right? You can stay right in your
living
room.
Right in my wheelhouse.
It's on CNN. I don't know if you get CNN West Coast or East Coast. I'm not sure. But it's at 9 o'clock on CNN. He tours Italy. Tonight he's in Milan. So, which is really the place I wanted to go see Springsteen sing in, because San Siro Stadium in Milan is Springsteen's favorite venue of all. And Milan wasn't on Millie's birthday list, so we had to go to Florence. But that was fine. It worked out just as well.
What is, if you were to give a guide to somebody like me prospectively going to Italy, three cities I have to see?
Well, I mean, you have to obviously see Rome.
Yes, there's no denying
that. You've got to go, and you've got to go to the Borghese Museum in Rome, which is an incredible museum. It's like you're walking in Central Park. And then you've got to do all the things that Romans would do, which is the Spanish Steps and, you know, the Trevi Fountain and all that. And then I think you need to go to Florence to experience the Renaissance and truly understand that and kind of get a good grasp of that. And then I think you probably need to go to the Amalfi Coast, and whether you go to Naples or Ischia or to Capri, you know, one of those islands off the Adriatic, off the coast in the Mediterranean would be absolutely beautiful. I would prefer to do Sicily because they say the best gelato is in Sicily, which we need to search for that. But those would be my recommendations.
Those are written down. By the way, I've been reading about the Roman.
But you're never leaving. So you're going to have to do it with Rick Stevens on that channel on PBS because he'll do it for you, you know.
I was just going to say, been reading a little bit about the Roman emperors. Those guys seem like they'd be tough to work for, you know, when you try to get time off.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they care about 6 days a week, 7 days. It's like every day is the same day. You know, just get your butt to work and let's go. Let's see what we can do.
Hey,
you know?
Caligula was a freak, though. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
We just took a weird turn. So quickly, before we get to the action.
It was the skill challenge.
I know. I'm going to give you a couple odds
in this, and I'm like, do you really want to bet that? Like, so you just, is there something else you can, let's feed
okay,
the
how about three
let's
points?
Let's do something else with your money.
Okay, I'll at least give you this one. Okay, you got 50 seconds here. Curry's 2-1. That seems like a pretty good price on him. LaVine, who's ridiculous this year, 4.5-1. Mitchell, 5-1. Tatum, 6.5-1. You like any of them?
You know, I might go Devin Booker at 475.
There you go.
Devin Booker at 475. I think he's always undervalued, Devin Booker. You know, I think he's such a good player and he's always undervalued. I'd go bet Devin Booker here.
By the way, I'm sweating a Bundesliga match right now with Bremen and Köln. Have you ever been to Germany?
No, I'd love to go. I want to go to Vienna. I definitely want to go to Austria and Vienna and do all that. I think that would be awesome. Yeah. I mean, you get my travel list here. Now that I got a shot, I'm back. I'm back. Hey. I feel like George Costanza. I'm back.
Hey, bro. I got an action update. I'm stalling. And by the way, if you want to go to Germany, come over tonight. We'll go. Here comes an action update. We're coming back we'll come back with some NFL news.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The favorites to win the 2001 NCAA basketball tournament, Gonzaga at the top at plus 240, Michigan plus 225, Baylor plus 450, Illinois plus 1200, the Houston Cougars plus 1800, along with Iowa also at 1800, Alabama to the SEC plus 2500, along with the Creighton Blue Jays also at 2500. NFL draft in April, Zach Wilson out of BYU is the favorite to be the second overall pick behind Clemson's Trevor Lawrence at minus 225. Justin Fields plus 275, Penny Sewell plus 900. It's March, and that means it's time for the madness. Our VSiN experts watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for future Cinderellas to give you the betting edge heading into the tournament. Now's the time to start your free VSiN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Get ready for betting the madness. Sign up for your free trial of VSiN today at vsin.com/subscribe. With your VSiN action update, I'm Tony DeZiri.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back. Just talking to the gentleman, Brady Cannon, coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. And I wanted to bring this up, if you don't mind, because I'm sure you have some intel.
Well, I wanted to hit Brady Cannon. Now that Brady was in there, did you see Chambeau had a drive of almost 500 yards? Did you see this?
Yes, I did, over at Bay Hill. So Brady and I were just discussing, Brady is not, and Brady likes everybody, he is not a DeChambeau fan, as we were just talking about. But that was ridiculous. There's a great picture, and I agree with Brady on this. He was attempting to drive the par 5, the 6th, I believe it is, cutting across that huge lake. I think his drive, what, 370? Yeah, Brady said, yeah, 370. Like, he is wild. Like, he just doesn't have many fans. He's a different type of dude, but that was a crazy picture of him crossing that lake.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it. I have to go watch it. I just read about it today to get ready for the show, and I was just wondering how you drive 555 yards, but I guess it's really cutting corners. So, anyway, I apologize for digressing. Let's talk
please.
Football.
No, please. And by the way, he right now, I think he shot a 68 yesterday, one shot behind Lee Westwood, who's the 54-hole leader as we enter. It's a beautiful course down in Florida. You know what? You should go play it today.
I'd love to go to Florida, but I can't, you know, I can't.
Well, you can. You're inoculated.
Free. That's right. I forgot I'm free. I just read today that the Pfizer shot, even though you have to go get the second one, that the first one works so effectively. So I feel like a liberated man. I do.
I was reading about your boy, John Adams, just random. And they had to deal with a hell of a lot.
My boy?
I don't know. I just feel like you're a JA guy. Shout out to John Adams. I feel like we don't recognize how good we have it, right? Smallpox back in the day, everything they dealt with. What you went up, you get one shot, you get another shot, you're going to be good to go with this COVID stuff.
Good to go. We get it back, and we get football back. We get people in the stands. We'll get people in this casino, and we'll be jumping, and things will be a little bit back to normal, but we'll learn. I think the greatest thing about COVID is that we've learned that you don't necessarily have to get on an airplane and travel to go somewhere, that Zoom actually works as well, and you can get things done. So, you know, we can move forward with this, and it's going to be interesting to watch a tournament in this stage where we're set in one state as opposed to all over the place in the same time zone, which is going to be interesting to see how it all works.
Well, and also just Major League Baseball quickly, then we'll jump into it. Even in L.A., they're expecting a semblance of fans even to start the season. So, if you know, New York, Madison Square, Knicks and Rangers games, they've had 2,000-plus in there. So I bring those two states up because if you think as far as the concentration and how locked down New York and California were, the fact that they're opening up, that's great for everybody.
Yeah, look, I think the Johnson & Johnson shot's a game changer because it's one shot. It doesn't have to be stored in sub-zero temperatures. And, you know, it's effective to keep you out of the hospital and to keep you from your deathbed. So those two things, there's no different than the flu. And I think that'll change the landscape of the league. Now, the NFL is not really changing what they're doing in terms of preparation for the draft. We didn't have a combine. They're not allowing, most teams are kind of really restricting their personnel from going on the road, and they're going to just use a lot of video. They're going to film it and have to make their decisions based on iPhone chats with the players as opposed to face-to-face in person.
Imagine what the two Johnsons, when they got together, the friends are like, what are we going to call it? Anyway, Jimmy Garoppolo. So this is...
For Nesson,
Let's talk about it. Nesson, this is for you. Garoppolo remains the Patriots' top quarterback target for 2021 as the 49ers consider an upgrade per report. So this is Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal, who reported this week that Garoppolo is far and away the Patriots' plan A at quarterback for the season.
You know, I don't know if that's accurate. I mean, I respect Greg, and certainly he's entitled to his opinion based on his sources. But I would suspect that, you know, the Niners are, you know, they're in this limbo state. Will they get, I think they will try to get Sam Darnold if they can compensate the Jets in a fashion that they need to. As I reported yesterday, they're looking for a high second round pick, somewhere between the 33rd, which is the first pick in the second round, to the 39th pick, somewhere in there, which is a really valuable pick. It's actually even, you know, it's not as valuable as the bottom of the first because you get 5-year contract, but it does serve a purpose for not having to pick up the 5th-year option, which sometimes can be a hindrance to the team. So it's a great pick to have those picks. I mean, I'd rather have picks 33, 34, 35 than 3 ones be honest with you, because you're paying way more.
Cheaper.
So that's what the Jets want. And whether they get that or not, whether the Niners have pick 43. Now, what the Niners could do is trade 43, and they could flop in the third. You know, they could flop in the third where they take their fourth and, you know, they take their third and give it to the Jets for the Jets' fourth. So that would compensate them. So there's a way around it. I do think the Niners have kicked the tires on everybody. I think last year I wrote this for The Athletic. They were really serious about Tom Brady. They were serious about Tom Brady in the sense that, Kyle Shanahan wanted to do it then. And I think he got a lot of resistance from the organization. Now, make no mistake about it, Kyle Shanahan has the final say. But I think he went through the protocols of the organization, and they all kind of said, no, I think we should do it. I think he regrets that. I think he wants to get away from Garoppolo's contract. He takes in Darnold. He sees where he can go. Now, Garoppolo has a no-trade clause in his contract, so it isn't as easy as just trading Garoppolo to anywhere he wants to go. Garoppolo can say no. Do I think Garoppolo would like to be reunited with Josh McDaniels? Absolutely. Do I think Jimmy would be love to come back to New England and play? Absolutely. Do I think the Patriots are stopping everything in their quarterback search waiting for this? No. I think there's a really good chance Cam Newton comes back. I think the more they review the landscape of the National Football League and they see what's been going on and they see the value of the player and who's available and who's not available and what it's going to cost. This ridiculous rumor about the Patriots are going to be involved with Deshaun Watson is absolutely. I don't even understand how anybody could come up with that rumor. Because if you've studied Bill Belichick for 20 years, you realize he's never going to overpay for anything. He's a true hedge fund manager. He's never going to overpay. If he thinks he's getting the wrong end of the deal, he walks. Now, he'll overpay on a draft pick. You know, he gave up a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. Yeah, he'll do that. But I'm talking about overcompensating with multiple of picks. And I think that's why that Watson thing is completely has no validity to it whatsoever. Do I think that they would bring Cam back? Yeah, I think there's probably a 70% chance Cam comes back. Because why? Because Cam provides them leadership. He provides them stability. Plus, if they can improve their football team around him, he may provide 3 to 4 more wins for them, which would get them over the hump and make them a serious contender. They have some issues that they need to deal with.
And where are you overall on Garoppolo as a starter right now?
I like Jimmy. I really do. I've always liked Jimmy. I worry about his durability. You know, and when you watch the tape on Jimmy in San Francisco, and he has to be a dropback passer, they don't protect very well. Now, I know that's not popular to say, but if you watch the 49ers offense and it gets away from the play-action pass game, which is what Kyle has been very good at doing, his father was brilliant at it as well. But once they have to throw the ball down the field in a drop-back pass game, that's not what they do. Their offensive line doesn't block well. That's with Trent Williams even at left tackle. McGlinchey at right tackle, they've struggled, you know. Their whole line struggles, and Jimmy's taking a punishment for that. I think if he went to New England, they would be able to do a better job of protecting him and being more durable in that framework because McDaniels understands what Jimmy's really good at, throwing the ball outside the numbers, getting it down the field, trying to stay out of third down. Jimmy's not Brady in third down. You know, I'm going to get you in the perfect play. I'm going to get this, going to check here, do this. He's going to run the offense, and he's going to run it based on how it went in practice, and I think he can be effective doing that.
The kind of white whale floating as far as quarterbacks as the new season approaches here, Michael, is Ryan Fitzpatrick. His name has been mentioned, I think, in all 32 teams. What's your best idea as far as a landing spot for him?
I'm going to guess Washington because I think here it makes sense to me in Washington, and here's why. I think Washington has a good team. Do they have a great team? No. They have a good team? Yes. They have a defense that played really well at the end of the year. They have a running back that can run if he can stay healthy. And they're going to add some pieces to their team. And I think Fitz could give them a year or two to kind of bridge the gap to their next quarterback. And he would offer them something that I know this is going to sound ridiculously strange for a guy who's played on 8 teams. But he would offer them some stability at the position. Something they need to ground their team as they go forward. And I think they would win the East. Because, look, the East is not going to be very good next year. I mean, if Dak doesn't sign an extension and reduce his cap number, the Cowboys are going to have so many issues, and they're going to run a defense with Dan Quinn that's going to be easy to detect, right? It's going to be easy to detect. It's going to be easy to attack because they don't have the personnel in the defensive front to really dominate, which that Quinn-Seattle scheme has to do. So Dak takes all the money. That really hurts them. So where do we go? Okay, Philadelphia is in a complete rebuild mode. Complete rebuild mode. You know, we don't even know how good Nick Sirianni is as a coach. You know, where are they going to be on defense? All that. So that's a rebuild mode. The Giants think they're way better than they really are because they have more faith in Daniel Jones than I have. Now, they may be right. I may be wrong. You know, I don't see it with Daniel Jones. I think when the game gets faster, Daniel Jones slows down. He turns the ball over. How good are they on defense? Can they duplicate that? Leonard Williams, they were right on. I was wrong on Leonard Williams. He was a much better player for them than he ever was for the Jets. But they're going to have to sign him. They're going to have to bring him back. Can they bring him back? Tomlinson, are they going to bring him back? So there's a lot of question marks. I think the Washington football team is the clear leader in the clubhouse. It's going to be interesting what Vegas sets the over win total for the best team in the conference. They'll have Washington as the best team. They'll have them at 8, I think. If they sign Fitzpatrick, it may go to 8.5.
If Darnold is traded by the Jets, who are sitting 2 with their pick, what team really would want him?
Well, I think that any team would want him that they feel like they could fix the turnovers. When you sit there and look at Sam Darnold on tape, you say to yourself, how do I solve this turnover problem? How do I stop him from making stupid decisions with the football, you know, throwing into coverage? And a lot of the answers to that question are, I've got to limit him from playing from behind. Because what happens to the fans don't see this, but there's an act of desperation, not courageousness. It's desperation when you get behind in a game and you try to force plays because you're trying to make up points and every possession becomes so important. And I think Darnold's really been a byproduct of that. Now, the other thing with Darnold, he's got to stay healthy. He hasn't proven to be durable over his four-year career in the National Football League either. So he's got to prove that he can do that. I know mono doesn't count as durability, but he did have it, and it did affect his play. So, you know, I think he would be an attractive player to any team that wants to run a play-action pass scheme, much like the 49ers. You know, would he be perfect for Washington? That I don't know. You know, in the North Turner system of offense, which Scott Turner, his son, runs in Washington, I'm not sure that would be, you know, be able to be as effective for Darnold. I think he needs to be in a heavy play-action pass scheme.
And are you hearing anything about Dak? I'm guessing the franchise will be signed, and then they'll try to get a deal done over the next 4 months.
I don't know if he'll sign that franchise because I think he's going to want to make – once he signs the franchise, then he's tradable, and I'm sure that Dak – now, they've had better conversations than in Dallas. You know, Dak went through a second surgery on that ankle. Where is that? We don't know. You know, he's going to have to pass a physical. It's a little bit like we talked about yesterday, Patrick. Everybody says, well, you know, Alex Smith's out there. Teams are going to take a chance on him. Stop for a second. You got to pass him on the physical. You take that ankle injury on, you're taking on some severe liability. Do you really want to do that? Do you really think he's going to be your starter? You got to answer that question. So with Dak, same thing. How do you take a chance on Dak if you don't really know what's going on with that ankle? You've got to be really concerned. He went in for a second. If everybody says he'll be fine, you know, everybody will say that, but the reality of it is it doesn't always be true.
It's just, it's wild. With them, they would go back in 2 seconds and just rip up that deal they gave to Zeke. I mean, it could it not be more of a war? Now, remember, he was hanging out in Cabo.
Yeah.
And
But it's like Aaron Jones. Like, I would pay. I think the Packers will franchise Aaron Jones. I think he's a weapon. I think Zeke could be more of a weapon than he actually is in their offense. And I would have paid Zeke to be that weapon because he can catch the ball in the backfield. He can run some receiving like what Christian McCaffrey does for the Carolina Panthers, even though he was hurt this year. He could offer some uniqueness. I mean, to me, you pay weapons. You don't pay a position. Who can get the ball in the end zone and who's a weapon? I think Zeke can do that. I don't think he's being utilized. That's one of the things I think that really hurts us a little bit in sometimes evaluating players. Are they used correctly? How much can they affect the game if they were used in a slightly different variance? I think you have to answer that question. And I don't really look at Dak as they overpaid for him. I think they really have made a mistake in how they utilize him. I don't want to give Dak the ball out of the I formation 25 times off right and left tackle. I want to be able to line him up outside, away from the receivers. You know, let him come in on third down and play in the slot and win a route inside. You know, I want to utilize him like Aaron Jones is utilized, down the seam, running with the ball after the catch, catching in an open space.
What's your best guess as far as Carolina and what they're thinking about at quarterback?
I think Carolina's kicking the tires on everybody. I think that they also are thinking about what they need to do to improve Teddy Bridgewater. You know, I think they need to have a team around Teddy. Are they willing to give up so many assets to get a quarterback? You know, what's the Deshaun market? I mean, look, their owner is a hedge fund. He's the greatest hedge fund guy. You mentioned David Tepper's name to anybody on Wall Street, and they hold him in reverence because he gets it. He gets this is the market he plays in all the time. This is where he lives his life, in this valuation based on how high, how low, who's underpaid, who's overpaid. This is what he does for a living. That's how you have to operate in the NFL. When you turn around and just give, you know, J.J. Watt $15 million a year you're not really playing a hedge fund game. You're playing an old school game that you have unlimited resources. That doesn't work. You'll never win like that. You got to think like Tepper. You have to think in terms of those pragmatic decisions on each, every single one that you make.
I swear to you, I was driving in today to the show, and I was thinking about the fact that the Detroit Lions, who just signed Tyrell Williams, we have Goff and his contract for the next, like, 3 years. It really depresses me. And that's no disrespect to Jared Goff.
What happens is teams just get so – they think they need a better this. They think they need a better that. You know, if we improve a little bit here, we're going to be better. They don't see the whole landscape of their team. You know, and that's one of the things that I think has always been a problem with the Lions. When you have a committee, right, here's the reality. They have never dedicated a monument to a committee. And when you have a committee operating your team in the NFL, which is what they have in Detroit, you know, yeah, I know they hired a new general manager, but they got Spielman in there. They got the coach in there. They got all these people in there, Rod Woods, all these guys. It's a committee. They never dedicated a monument to a committee. You need a commander. You need me a supreme commander, and they don't really have that.
Okay, good job. There's a little NFL news and notes. And when we come back, we're trying to make it make some sense. We've also got Thomas Gable coming up. We've got your pictures of your pups coming up. And Josh Applebaum as well as we continue Sunday edition right here. Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, if you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you with wagering on them races at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks. It's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code right now. It's Vegas150 and get a $150 match bonus up to $150 when you bet within the first 30 days. And if you're one of the first 25 to sign up today, you're going to receive a copy of Eddie Olczyk's autobiography, which is cool. Visit first.com/bet/Vegas for details. That's 1st.com/bet/Vegas. Promo code Vegas150. And hurry up, because this offer ends today. Okay, Michael, as you know, the Washington Capitals arrived in Philadelphia after the game on Friday. They've been chilling in Boston.
Yeah.
Who played Saturday, lost against the Flyers. So, and this
going
is a team,
hockey on me, huh?
Yeah, I just quickly, because, you know, what else do we have? I got a couple of college. Washington has won 4 of their last 5. They're good on this road trip, 6-3-2 on the road, part of me, this season. I got it even earlier. It's now 110 up and down with the Caps. I will take Washington in Philadelphia. What's the name of the mascot there in Philly?
Gritty.
Grizzly.
I call him Grizzly, but we'll call him Gritty. I think it's accurately Gritty.
You're
not worried about Carter Hart in goal? I mean, didn't Carter Hart play well the other night? Wasn't he good in goal?
No, I am worried about Tom Wilson for the Caps being out. He got suspended 7 games for a nasty hit, and he is he's their enforcer, and he's a goal scorer as well.
I thought you were going to go with the Lightning against my Blackhawks.
It's a big price, though. If we throw that up there, I think you got to lay a little bit more than $2 on the Lightning today.
How good is Patrick Kane playing for the Blackhawks right now?
Why don't we come back the other way and have some fun with it? You just made it make sense. Let's go plus 180 on your Blackhawks. Michael, by the way, is friends. I'll flex for him. Friends with the Blackhawks head coach. So we are a Blackhawks show here on the Lombardi Line.
I'm a supporter of him. I'm a big supporter of him. So yeah, and love the city. They got to turn around. I mean, they're a young team. Kane's done a great job of kind of rebranding the culture a little bit as they've been able to do that. So yeah,
playing much better than was expected of this team coming into the season. You see them there They're 13-7-5. That's a big price for a team at home at plus 180. The Lightning are just Lightning will be down two goals and all of a sudden just strike, no pun intended, and they're right back in it. Now, let's go, and this is something Brady and I were discussing during the break. It sounds chalky for me to take this. When you look at the three-point contest, and you mentioned you were on,
Booker.
Okay. Now, Booker. Curry is, and Devin Booker's plus 475 there. Curry is 2-1 at BetMGM. So this is good for new viewers to understand that there's different numbers, different lines at every book, and shop for the best number if you have an opportunity to. It's called having multiple outs. Brady just mentioned Curry at Circa is plus 120. Curry at the Westgate is plus 140. I'm getting him at BetMGM right now on the app at 2-1. That is that's just simply, it sounds chalky, but it's a price play on Curry here, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, look, 2-1, why would you turn that down, right? I think you got a good chance at that one. So, you know, I still like Booker at 475, at, you know, almost 5-1 there. You know, Donovan Mitchell, he didn't shoot good the last time he played. I think he was 8-for-32 from the floor against the Sixers.
He complained good after the game, though. He complained really,
really
good.
Really well done. It was outstanding. So, yeah, I mean, I like Booker.
Okay, I'll take Steph just because of the price. Again, I'm not going plus 120 if I'm over at Circa, but 2-1, I'm surprised to see when I woke up today that that was still hanging there. As far as the skills, just to kind of round out a fun day as far as the NBA, if you consider it fun, let's go. Doncic is your favorite in the skills challenge at plus 225. Paul's plus 250. Sabonis 5-1. Randall 5.5. How about Rocco? I'll go Rocco. He's the last on the board at plus 750. Your boy Rocco, you remember him.
Oh, of course I do. I like Doncic at 2.5. I think that one's a good one right there.
By the way,
we're
just getting a tweet. Embiid and Simmons. There it is. Doc Rivers says it's not looking great for Embiid and Simmons to play tonight. Reporting on contract tracing from a barber in Philly. It's the same barber you go to.
That's not Barbershop Mike. I know that. I saw him
That's
yesterday. He's all secured. He's all secured at Wesley, Matt. He's all good there. Don't worry. It wasn't Barbershop did that one. So we're not going to get him to play, huh? We'd have to stay in Atlanta.
But you'd prefer that. Yeah. You don't want your boys playing in this meaningless game.
No, I don't. I don't even understand why we're having a game. Like, seriously, why are they even
Money.
Having it? Why didn't they just give the players some time off and chill? I guess the ratings, and they had to
because
do it for
TNT
television.
Paid the league a lot of cash, and the league's like, okay, we'll give you a product, and that's really what it comes down to. Cash rules everything around me, homie. Coming back.
Where are you on Florida, Tennessee tonight? Are you going anywhere on that?
I'll tell you when we come back in 2 minutes right here on the Lombardi Line, and also Thomas Gable's going to join. The time to start planning for your one shining moment as a college hoops bettor. Our experts are analyzing every game in every conference this week, so you can start cashing tickets before the big dance tips off, of course. And when it comes to madness, we've got everything you need, starting with live Selection Sunday coverage, giving you instant updates on the early lines and where the betting opportunities exist in the market. Once the teams are set, we'll get you the bracket betting guide. This includes full betting details and trends for the teams, conferences, players, and matchups, so you can prepare your bracket and get the bets and the best bets in. Okay, so again, we're going to take care of it for you. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It's full madness coverage. You can start your free trial today. VSiN.com/subscribe. We head out to the Borgata. The race and sports book director is Thomas Gable, and we welcome him here on the Lombardi Line. Hey, TG, how did yesterday go for you?
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Overall, it was a very busy day here. We wrote a ton of business between the UFC card and college basketball. Did very well on college hoops. Sort of a weird day. We lost a decent amount of money on golf matchups of all markets. But
wow.
It was a good day, though, overall. Interesting UFC card. I heard you were lamenting.
Thank you.
You watching that in your
you cleaned
last
you cleaned up on you I guarantee you cleaned up on Adesanya losing no
So we've had more money on the Polish power there, but certainly Adesanya was in a lot of parlays that got ruined. Nunez, I think the price on her was very prohibitive for people, so they were obviously taking her opponent. But we lost in that DQ match there. That was a heavy loss for us in that one. And unlike in pro wrestling, titles can change hands on a disqualification in UFC. So
he left the belt right in the ring, right?
Yeah,
that was a weird one.
Was it a good disqualification? Was it fair?
Knee to the head. So that was it.
Michael just mentioned the Florida-Tennessee game, which starts, I believe, coming up in about 24
Noon.
Minutes.
Noon,
yep.
Yeah.
So this one, it looks like Tennessee's taking the money here.
Yeah, we've seen some movement towards Tennessee. Openness, Tennessee laying 4.5. That's now up to 5.5. The total is at 136.5 in this one. Florida coming in here. Off the last second loss to Missouri on Wednesday night. They have not been executing on the offensive end. Really, really poor execution, poor fundamentals lately. But they do lead the SEC in field goal percentage, three-point field goals, and free throws. So where does the problem lie there with Florida offensively? It's in turnovers. They rank 279th in Division I in turnovers per game at 14.7. In fact, in the first half against Missouri, they turned it over 15 times in that game. So in this one, whichever team wins this game, they will secure a double bye in the conference tournament. Tennessee comes into this one 16-7 overall, 9-7 in the SEC. Florida did beat them by 26 earlier in the year, but Tennessee has some quality wins this season. They've beaten Kansas, Missouri, Kentucky. They're led by freshman guard Jordan Springer, who averages 12.8 points per game. They play some very good defense, especially in the front court, and they change up their looks a lot on defense as well.
I like my man Trey Mann. I like that guy. I think that guy's one heck of a player. I think Florida's a tough team. I mean, they had the big win against Kentucky, and then they come back and they stub their toe against Missouri. Five's a lot of points in there. I think this will be one. This is one of those last stand games for both teams. I mean, this is one that they got to get. I don't know. I like Florida and the points here. Just me personally, Patrick.
Yeah,
both teams are going to be in the field at this point. It's really, if they can secure that double bye for the SEC tournaments, what this one comes down to.
I believe Brady's son goes to Florida. We'll bet the Gators for Brady's son. Let's go to Waco. Two teams playing well: Texas Tech and Baylor.
Yeah.
You would question motivation here, but I don't know with these two coaches and these teams right now. Thomas, what do you got?
Agreed. Baylor laying 8 and total 137.5 in this one. The total has come down 2 points from where we opened it at 139.5. Baylor 20-1 on the season. Of course, after their COVID pause, they lost to Kansas. They came back, beat Oklahoma State and West Virginia. West Virginia, a thriller there, though. They just have not looked like the same team prior to that COVID pause, but the game against Oklahoma State, certainly they seem to right the ship there. Texas Tech, 14-6 overall. They are 3-3 in their last six games. They did lose to some solid teams, though, in that six games, West Virginia, Kansas, Oklahoma State. Baylor did beat them 68-60 earlier in the year in January. In that loss, Texas Tech turned the ball over 20 times. And they shot very poorly, only 35% from the field in that one. So we know Texas Tech can play defense. They play with intensity. Sometimes they struggle to put points on the board here. Baylor, I think, can match them in defensive intensity. But if Baylor starts to find some rhythm here on the offensive end, I think they can probably just bury this Texas Tech team.
Yeah, Texas Tech is, you know, the one thing about this, the Big 12, Texas Tech and West Virginia, two teams we think synonymous with defense, they haven't been the best defense of the year in terms of the conference. Baylor and Kansas are the two best defenses in the conference, so that's a point well taken. And then, of course, we've got a Des Moines special. We've got to go to that there.
We do have a Des Moines special.
Loving
here
this
today.
One. This one you stole from me. I like this one.
You jacked it from Mike.
No, you stole this from me.
I'll just break down the game, but this will go to Michael. So Campbell and Winthrop, this is the Big South Conference Tournament final here. This features the third matchup between these two teams this year. Winthrop has won both prior meetings, 94-76 and then 84-83. The winner gets an automatic bid here to the NCAA tournament. Winthrop is led by Chandler Vaudrin, who's averaging 12.3 points per game. He also averages 7 rebounds and 7 assists per game. Winthrop scores a lot of points. They're averaging almost 80 points per game, and they get to the foul line at a high rate. They shoot over 22 free throws per game as well. But Campbell is very, very hot right now. They have won 9 in a row. They're led by Cedric Henderson, who is averaging 15.3 points per game. They have really stepped up the defense lately. In their last 5 games, they've only given up 58 points per game. They're also shooting well from behind the arc at 37.5%. Most importantly, Campbell 6-0 ATS in their last 6 games. So they're getting a lot of points here, 11.5. So I believe Michael's Des Moines play is Campbell plus the point.
I like Campbell. I'll take the 11.5. Thank you very much, Patrick. But Thomas and I agree on that.
Okay, well, if two of you are in, that makes 3 of us. I'm in as well. TG, have a great Sunday there at the Borgata. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
Patrick. Thank you, Thomas.
That's Beach House right there. Thomas Gable, of course, had a big night last night with UFC wagering. Stop by, say hi, get a selfie and an autograph. We come back here on the Lombardi Line with Josh Applebaum as we continue. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, bet with confidence with a risk-free bet up to $600 at BetMGM. Sign up and use the bonus code VSIN600 and you're on your way to the betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the promo code VSIN600. It's paid for and free bet for new customers. And you got to be located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text REDLINE 800-889-9789. Call 1-800-9WITH-IT in Indiana. We welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. We're going to get to the pups with the underdogs coming up in just a little bit as we welcome you back. Michael Lombardi hanging out in Jersey at the Borgata. Josh Applebaum joins us now. Market Insights is the pod. And we welcome Josh back. How about some updates for us, buddy?
Yeah, tons of updates coming here, guys. Number one, Wisconsin, Iowa. You're still seeing some money come in here. Iowa, we talked 6.5 to 7. Some of these books are trending toward a possible 7.5 here, so a little bit of money coming in on Iowa. Keep an eye also, you know, there's a couple of these small games. Number one, Oral Roberts. Michael, I know you're looking at this Oral Roberts game here.
I've been looking at this all day, Josh. I'm serious. Yeah. I have. I want to take Oral Roberts, and I think I want to go over here too. I think I want to go on the over.
I'm with you, Michael. Yeah, this one jumped out at me. Low bet game here, but Summit League quarterfinal, North Dakota, 9-16, the 5 seed here. Oral Roberts, 13-10, the 4 seed. We like about this one, and Michael, laser focus, you're totally right. It's a decent bet game. Public's actually leaning North Dakota, yet Oral Roberts open -6.5. They're up to 7. Looks like some shops are going to 7.5. KenPom has Oral Roberts winning by 9 points, and you like that Oral Roberts scores 82 a game, 13th best in the country. And North Dakota is giving up 75 a game, 282 in the country there. So maybe Oral Roberts runs them out of the gym. Another one here, guys. Michael, what's your take on Missouri KC? I know you and Millie staying up late to sweat the ruse. I believe that's short for kangaroos, Patrick.
Of course.
But Missouri KC, they're on the road, or they're this was what the Summit League quarterfinal, 9:40 game, late game here. Again, no one's waking up betting this game, but this game open around -6 for North Dakota. And this line is now down to round five. KenPom has them winning by four, so maybe an actionable edge there. Keep an eye on Mercer as well. Mercer's playing VMI. That is the conference, Southern Conference semifinal. Mercer, both these teams won yesterday as dogs, but crazy, you had VMI beat Furman as a 9-point dog, won 91-90 in overtime, but maybe you're buying low on Mercer here. You know, they minus two, stayed minus two. Everyone's betting VMI. But yeah, Oral Roberts, VMI, and Missouri KC taking in some money as we speak.
Missouri KC is interesting because it's got 39% of the tickets written, and it's almost got 80% of the money. So there's a lot of people playing that. Nobody's waking up thinking about Missouri KC. Even though it's Missouri KC, I'm not sure everybody knows where it is, you know? And so that tells you that there's something going on.
It'd be funny if Missouri KC was like we were talking about in Italy.
Yeah.
Josh, by the way, Brian Hamilton let us know, Michael, I think Booker's out today as far as the All-Star.
He's a scratch?
Yeah, I think he's a scratch. And Josh, you have updates on the All-Star game, right?
Yeah, so this one's crazy, and try to stay with me here, guys. I'm going to probably butcher this completely, but if you guys have looked at the rules for the All-Star game, it's really, really weird. We saw it for the first time last year, but basically what you're seeing is it's called the Elam ending. This guy came up with this thing where basically he hated the fact that you get late into a game, there's fouling, you're chewing up the clock, there's threes, there's crazy stuff happening at the end. So this guy came up with this idea, get rid of the clock. So what they're going to do, they did it last year, and you get the deliberate fouling. It just becomes a popsicle headache here. But this is interesting. He found that late game deliberate fouling, it happens around 44% of NBA games, around 58% of college games. So it's higher in college. But only 1% of the time does this deliberate fouling actually end in a comeback for the team that's fouling and trying to have a miracle hit here. So what does this matter? Why is this important? Because the format here is they're going to play three quarters, 12 minutes each. Each quarter is different. It's standalone. The score starts 0-0 each quarter. Then it gets weird, and I don't fully understand it, guys, but fourth quarter, there's a target score. You had 24 points to the leading team score. That's a tribute to Kobe Bryant. Last year, it was a 157 to 155 game. There's no clock in the fourth quarter. You're just trying to hit this target number. But what does that all mean? We're seeing some over money on this total. And I know, Michael, I can't wait to see. Unfortunately, we're not going to get Simmons and Embiid, it looks like, based on this COVID protocol. But a lot of money to this over. It opened like 308. It's up to 315. Not getting the best number, but maybe this weird format. Maybe we have a high scoring game in this one. A lot of over money with this weird Elam ending type thing.
I mean, look, I don't know if you could set the over high enough based on the way they're playing no defense in this game, and there's nothing at stake. So that, but we got to get to the doggies.
Yeah, hold on. Did you just explain the All-Star rules or the ending to the Da Vinci Code? Because what the hell was
exactly.
that?
I have
what
no idea.
What the hell was that, Applebaum?
Just stay away.
If you're betting this game, just be prepared. It's not going to make any sense to you. But if you have the over, you may be happy. There may be a lot of points in this one.
The over's at 314 and a half. I mean, gosh almighty. I mean,
Let's get some, let's do it. It's a dog day Sunday. Let's get some pups up, and then we'll get to a couple of picks on the board before we get out of here. And we'll throw our first one, dog of the day, Oregon State. Who's taking Oregon State? Of course,
the
Winnie.
Money line.
How about Winnie right there on the money line? Winnie, the miniature. What do they call those puppies?
Dachshunds.
Yeah, that's what Daisy is, a miniature dachshund. All right, Winnie, we like it. Oregon State money line. Good job, Winnie. Next one up on the board here, a dog day, Zeus. Here comes Zeus. Oregon State money line for Zeus. Look at Zeus. Zeus is beautiful.
Well, there's a lot of Oregon State money line. I mean, I'm loving that, huh?
By the way, Zeus is 165 pounds if you need him, Michael.
Oh, boy, you probably run behind Zeus. Get the good ground game going there.
Mike Alstott there. One up, we got two for Jade and Eddie. Tremendous. Good job, Jade and Eddie. Senators. Oh, they're going hockey. Senators money line and Sabres money line, Josh.
Ooh, I like it. The only thing I worry, Patrick, and you and me go through this a lot, it's a favorite sport in hockey. But today I'll make an exception. Maybe we get some money line upsets here.
Yeah, Jade is on the Senators, and, of course, Eddie is on the Sabres. Next one up, Elon, catching 4.5. Of course, Rascal.
Oh,
that's typical Rascal, always on Elon.
Oh, man, over James Madison, too. That line's coming back down. That line is trending. It was four. It got up to 4.5, and it's open to 3.5. There's some money coming in on Elon. You know, I love it. 1,700 tickets have been written on this game. I'm loving that one there. That's a Caruso special right there.
Can we throw – apparently that little pup is not 165 pounds, just that news in. Angus is coming. Angus is hungry. You could see in the spirit with the basketball. Like Sparty today. Maybe a letdown for Michigan. Angus just texted me, letdown Michigan spot here. Michigan State plus 8.5 here.
Agrees with Will Hill. I mean, Will Hill probably talking to this dog, talking to him, huh?
Will Hill's all over. I'll get your official picks on that game coming up in just a bit. I think we have another one here, dog of the day. Remy Lazy. Okay, you see Remy on the right. That is just typical of Remy in Nebraska, catching 7. Going deep here, Northwestern Nebraska there, Michael.
Another Will Hill special. I mean, people are loving it. I mean, you know, Will's on a roll in the NBA. They're listening to him in college. I love it. It's awesome. Yeah, Nebraska. As Will said, you know, being the worst team in the best conference may not mean you're the worst. And Northwestern, you get 7 points. Why not take it against Northwestern?
And we appreciate Remy tuning into the show on the left there. Remy riveted. And then, yep, they see Remy taking a look at Michael, wants to know the Caruso play. Remy, of course, all over Nebraska plus 7. I think, is that it, Steph? Yep, that's it. Good job, dog of the day every Sunday at VSiN Live. Hey, fellas, check this out. Brady just sent this over to me. So, Michael, we mentioned Bryson DeChambeau a little bit earlier on the 6th hole where he wants to drive the green there. PointsBet has created a prop for where Bryson's tee shot will end up on the 6th today at Bay Hill. Even money fairway, plus 150 rough, 5-1 bunker or water, and 6-1 that he ends up on the green, which would be ridiculous if he drove that green.
I'd go 5-1. I'd take a shot on the 5-1, you know?
I think he ends up in the rough.
I think he's going to try to overhit it, yeah.
Okay, bunker or water for Michael at 5-1. Applebaum, what do you got? DeChambeau. I think he's going to go rough. It's plus 150. It's not a great number, but I'll take it.
Yeah, Patrick, that's a low payout. So what does it tell you? Maybe you have some money there. Yeah, I'll go bunker with you, man. I like it. Let's go.
Good transition, Josh Applebaum. Let's go. Yeah, I love
you. Can I throw another dog at you?
Yeah, sure.
Let me throw another dog, because anytime I get an opportunity to go a little chomp chomp at you, anyone like the Gators today?
That's not a dog.
I love the Gators today, Josh. I'm with you on the Gators today.
Nice. I like this, Michael, because number one, you did see some movement toward Tennessee, so it scares you a little bit here, but it was 5. It's now 6. I think you're getting a bit of an inflated number here at this point. KenPom actually has Florida only losing by 3 points in this one. So this would be a road conference dog. You've seen Florida play pretty well recently. Tennessee laying big points. They've been kind of a 500 team last few games here. So maybe chomp chomp with Florida getting 6 there if you can find it. That might be a valuable opportunity with a 3-point game, according to our guy KenPom.
And by the way, that starts in 4 minutes, right, Josh? It's starting coming up here.
Coming in hot here, Patrick. Yep.
At 9. Okay, boys. And feel free, Michael and Josh, to throw them at me if you have a play. Penn State, Maryland, it was something I was looking at here. Big Ten, Maryland open 5.5, staying steady, Josh, at 5.5.
Yeah, I was leaning a little bit here toward Maryland, Patrick. You know, this is a right down the middle game. Public really doesn't know what to do here, but it looks like liability may be a little bit toward Maryland. It was 5.5. A lot of these books are now minus 115 with Maryland. And you look at Maryland, this is a revenge angle. They lost 55-50 earlier this season. Pretty good at home, 11-5. Penn State, only 2-8 on the road. So looking a little bit there toward Maryland.
How about you, Michael?
I like Liberty today. Lay the 13.5. KenPom has it as a 14-point game. I love that one. I'll take Maryland in that one, too. But I wanted to get the Liberty one in there. And don't forget my Campbell Ball Club today, please.
Okay. Well, the Campbell Camels.
The Campbell Camels. Yeah. The Campbell Camels.
Hey, Josh, real quick, can you explain those NBA All-Star rules before we get out of here?
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Brady won't have a show if he does.
Yeah, get the hell out of Brady. It'll leak over into Brady and the pregame show. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line.